side. And all them crazy murderers would never run from inside. You try to keep me down cause you see not joy. All them knows them from, so you call a man a boy. I ain't a toy, can't just see, open up your eyes.
The thing that makes Judaism dangerous to everybody, to every race, to every nation, to every idea, is that we smash things that aren't true. We don't believe in the boundaries of nation state. We don't believe in the ideas of these individual gods that protect individual groups of people. These are all artificial constructions, and Judaism really teaches us how to see that. In a sense, our detractors have us right in that we are a corrosive force. We're breaking down the false gods of all nations and all people because they're not real.
And here we go, folks. It is Sunday, March the 6th, 2022. Yes, 2022. And you are listening to tonight's unexpected edition of the Ugly Truth broadcast. Welcome to the program, folks. Yes, as surprised as you are to hear me giving this program today, folks, I am just as surprised to be here because I had more or less decided that I was going to walk away from this thing, which I did for the last year, and just to be perfectly honest and fair with all of you, particularly those of you who have been asking on a regular basis when I was going to come back, I would not make the assumption that this indicates a trend. if the program appears tonight, then that means that I went ahead and finished it and went ahead and posted it. But I think that it's too soon at this point to assume that there's going to be a program sooner than a year from now. Maybe, folks, maybe. Really, the reason that I'm doing this is because, in addition to all of you out there who have been inquiring whether or not I was going to return to this crazy political business, I had two women in my life of great importance who have been pleading with me, one of them being my beloved wife of 31 years, and the other one, a mystery woman. I'm not going to disclose who she is. She knows who she is, and we'll just leave it at that. No, folks, I'm not running around with my wife. She just happens to be a very dear friend and a close colleague, and she has been telling me that I need to get out there and to bring this information that we'll be covering tonight due to the fact that it's simply not appearing anywhere else, at least not in this form. So, having said that, I'm going to apologize ahead of time for the sound effects to which all of you will undoubtedly be subjected. Earlier this winter, one of my sheep, a little ram, decided to use my face for target practice and broke my nose severely, and as a result of this now, it's constantly running on that side. And so this has made for an extremely uncomfortable situation for everybody, me as well as all of you out there who are going to be subjected to this. I apologize beforehand. There simply is nothing I can do about it. It just is what it is, and that's just it. So on that previous note, a very sincere thank you to those of you who have been contacting me and tapping on my door and saying, we really need to hear your perspective on all of this. Well, folks, you know, I do have the website. And I put my perspective on these matters out there. I try to at least, if not every day, then every other day. But I do understand as well that people just don't read anymore. They are more driven, obviously, pulled towards media that does all the work for them. I'll give you just a quick example. You know, last week, I posted two videos of this Zelensky character, who is the president of Ukraine, one of which was him doing this, I don't know what you would call it, it was a music video of some sort where he is with three other guys, and it's obviously a homoerotic video. Thousands of hits on that one. And then there was another video of him in his earlier years as a stand-up comic with another fellow, and the gist of this is that they were playing the piano, not with their hands, but with their male member. And thousands of hits. But when I run a story, folks, that has really got a lot of meat to it, a lot of important information and important analysis that bears a hell of a lot more on the happenings in today's world where we have found ourselves right now, it doesn't garner very much attention at all. And I think that this is more a sad commentary of the times that we're living in right now, that I think people are just worn out. They don't have the attention span necessary to concentrate and to focus on some of these more complex, difficult, complicated issues. And so, you know, they're just addicted to, you know, media that's going to do the work for them. You know, it's going to flood through their eyes and flood through their ears, and magically these thoughts are going to embed themselves in their brains. And, you know, I have come to understand that this is one of the unfortunate realities that encompasses these times that we're living in right now, where people simply don't read. They don't. It's very unfortunate. You know, I spend a good 2 or 3 hours of my day reading. The amount of time I spend watching a video or listening to something is, you know, it's. It wouldn't even be generous to say 10 to, you know, 1 to 10. And it really is the only way that we're going to put the pieces of this puzzle together is, you know, silent, sober study by reading, and then silent and sober thinking and putting these pieces together. But having said that, I do understand that it is an important component these days to getting this message out. And I think, unfortunately, I think that both my wife and my dear friend are correct, that unfortunately it's just not this discussion that we're going to have tonight, to the best of my knowledge, is not taking place anywhere else. And having said that, let's just jump into a few concepts. Now, again, folks, I'm going to apologize. I already apologized once for the sound effects to which you will all, which you're already being subjected. But as well, a year of being away from the program, obviously, the hinges get a little rusty, and I'm not quite as polished or as prepared as I may have been in my previous years. And quite frankly, folks, I'm just getting older. You know, I'm not as sharp a knife as I was previously. Not that I have necessarily lost my intelligence, but rather the energy that I put into collating my thoughts, organizing my thoughts. The thoughts are there. I just need to, I don't put them together in logical sequences as well or as much as I used to. So you're going to have to bear with me here. This may be a little bit of a bouncy discussion, bouncing back and forth in between topics. So I want to start off tonight's discussion with a concept that I think all of us need to understand and appreciate in terms of how we have found ourselves in the place that we are at. And by the way, here we go, the first bounce. Those of you who are new to the program, who this is your first time listening to it, and you're wondering about the introduction to the program, two parts. The first part, this is the easy part. The song, that is the theme song that used to introduce Mike Piper's nightly program or his podcast. Yeah, it's a nightly program too on RBN. And since I consider myself a loyal and devoted student of Mike, even to this day, when I began doing this program after Mike's demise, may he rest in peace, or as our good friend Jonathan Azaziah says it, may he be may he be granted 1,000 kingdoms in paradise. And I can't think of a better thing in terms of paradise, the well-being of paradise, than Mike running 1,000 different kingdoms. That was his nightly introductory program, and since I consider myself to be one of his eternal students, I have kind of picked up that baton, and I use that and have used that for years since Mike's passing, as a continuation of Mike's work. And yes, I, knowing Mike as well as I did, working with him as closely as I did for as many years as I did, I think it's safe to say that at least most of what I have, what encompasses my intellectual work, is the product of what Mike taught me. And I'm sure that if he were here, we would be, for the most part, in agreement on these various things. I had to deal with a whole hell of a lot of hell from all sorts of nitwits over my analysis of Trump. And the one thing that they always pulled up, you know, they'd say, oh, Mike Piper would be so disappointed and ashamed in you, the fact that you're taking up for Trump in this fashion. Look at this article that he wrote. Well, the article in question talked about Trump's ties to Israel's Mossad. And knowing Mike as well as I did, he would not have put anything to paper unless he was able to back it up with some type of objective fact. Okay, that's just the way Mike was. He was a stickler for details. He didn't throw crap out, you know, in front, you know, into the fan and have it go all over the place, such as no one died at Sandy Hook, that the Boston Marathon bombings never took place, or any of these other crazy things that have now, unfortunately, become mainstays. They are stuck to us like glue now forever because people did not listen to the common sense warnings that were coming out at the time, that these were things that were going to haunt us for the rest of our lives. So if Mike wrote this, now, and I know he did write it because I saw the article myself. It was an article written long before Donald Trump ever became a figure in the American political scene. And yes, Donald Trump has had contacts, maybe not directly, but, you know, tenuous, tangential contacts with Israel's assassination agency, Mossad. Okay. Now, my theory has been, from the beginning of the whole Trump phenomenon, the political phenomenon, is that he has been a creature of U.S. intelligence for most of his adult life. There's no way that somebody with his money, with his connections, who travels all over the world, who meets with all sorts of important people, important political people, presidents, prime ministers, kings, sultans, emirs, whatever. There's no way that a person of that stature is not going to get tapped on the shoulder by some intelligence agency, probably CIA, and they're going to say, hey, we want you to work with us. And as part of that duty, he would have to maintain some kind of contacts with someone who had contacts with Israeli intelligence, especially if Trump is doing business in the Middle East, which he was. Let's see, bouncing around. So that was Mike's song. That was his introductory song. We consider what we do here to be a continuation of Mike's invaluable work, and that's the reason for the music. Now, the other thing, the more important aspect of that introduction, is this soundbite that came from a certain Douglas Rushkoff, I believe his name is. He is a journalist. He's a writer of the Hebraic persuasion. Okay, he is one of the children of Israel. He is a follower of Judaism. Notice the new lexicon that we are employing here, folks. All right. For very important reasons, very important strategic reasons. Okay. We're not going to refer to them to the same capacity that we did in the past as simply Jews, because the term itself is loaded. As soon as people hear that word, they immediately, their eyes start darting back and forth, left to right, looking at who's within earshot, waiting for the explosion to take place. And not only that, but it really does a disservice to our understanding of what the nature of the problem is, okay? If somebody is a Christian, that means that they are a follower of Christianity. If somebody is a Muslim, they're a follower of Islam. If they're a Buddhist, they're a follower of Buddhism. A Hindu is a follower of Hinduism. And a Jew, whether they are religious or not, is a follower of Judaism. Now, this is important for several reasons. Number one, much of the miasma and the confusion surrounding this issue is rooted in the fact that otherwise intelligent and productive conversations about the nature of this problem get mired, stuck in the mud over, whether or not somebody is really a Jew or not a Jew, based upon whether or not they go to synagogue, whether they keep kosher, all of the rest of that. And herein lies the problem. People think that because somebody like Sarah Silverman or Seth Rogen, or take your pick, some, horribly obnoxious blight on our culture and on our nation, because they may not attend synagogue, because they may not put the pancake on their head and do all the crazy things that these people do, that somehow this means they're not really Jews. And people make this assumption without understanding what the primary component of this Judaism is. Okay, yes, it is all of the books of the Old Testament. Yes, it is Moses. Yes, it is the 613 rules that Moses laid down. But really what it can be boiled down to, ladies and gentlemen, is one coin that has two sides. The one side is the worship of the Jewish people, the Jewish tribe, the Hebrews. We could call it Hebrewism, really, would be just as an accurate a term. And then the other side of that coin is the rejection and the hatred of Gentiles, people who are not part of the tribe. Now, this Douglas Rushkoff, this follower of Judaism, and he makes it very clear that he is a follower of Judaism. He says something very easily, or very interesting. He says, this is what makes Judaism the threat to everyone, to all peoples, all nations, all creeds, is that we destroy things, we tear down things that aren't true. What he really should say is things that we don't believe are true. We don't believe in the boundaries of nation states. We don't believe in other people's gods. And he said, in a sense, our detractors have us right in that we are a corrosive force. We're tearing down the false gods and false premises of all peoples because they're not real. Now, the fine folks at the Anti-Defamation League and all of these other screeching organizations who sit there as spies listening, just an organization of Judas clones sitting and listening to everything, waiting for their opportunity to pounce. They should go after Rushkoff for saying this. Okay, Judaism as a corrosive force, and the Jewish people as a corrosive force in Gentile societies. So, this is very important for us to understand in coming to grips with the nature of the extremely serious deadly threat that we're all facing. Okay, that it is this corrosive force that we're dealing with. And we have it from an authoritative source, a follower of Judaism, one of the children of Israel. And as we try to point out on the website, there's no mystery to this. Okay? All anybody needs to do, all anyone has needed to do for the last 3, 4, 5, 6,000 years, however long this nightmare has been going on, is to open up their book and read it for themselves. Now, the problem is that we have an entire civilization of people, and by that I mean the Western world, the followers of Christianity, who have had access to that book, and they have learned to love its precepts, to love its toxicity, to love its corrosiveness. And Jesus warned about this. He said that no man can serve two masters. He's going to love the one and hate the other, or hate the one and love the other. He said you can't pour new wine into old wineskins. If you do, the wineskins will burst and the wine will spill out and be ruined. Okay. This, in effect, is the world that we're facing right now. The Christian nations of the world, at least by all appearances, who have taken this Judaism into their essence, into their being, now are gearing up for what may very well be the war to end all wars, a nuclear war between the very Christian nation of Russia and its allies, and the not so very Christian nations of the West that are more more in tune with the teachings of Moses than they are with the teachings of Jesus. And that's what we're going to be talking about. Before we do that, we're going to bounce over to the idea that the concept that I meant to discuss, to begin discussing. I warned you, folks. I warned you. You know, I got my first senior citizen discount today. It was a senior breakfast. And so, you know, you are dealing with somebody who, technically speaking, is a senior citizen. And so I, like I said, I tend to bounce, my ideas tend to bounce around. Bear with me. I think that in the end, you'll be able to pull it all together and glean some idea as to what the point is I'm trying to get across. Okay. There's a concept here that I want everybody to start considering. And it's something that's been on my mind, and one of the reasons really why I've kind of stayed away from the microphone, because I've been so busy studying this phenomenon, studying its precepts, how it functions, and the problems that it's causing us right now. And, you know, the world does run on ideas, folks, because man is a thinking creature. You know, we're not just driven by instincts the way that animals are. We are thinking creatures. This is the reason why we build civilizations and we have science at our disposal and things like that. Our world runs on ideas, and those ideas are conveyed and communicated and made real into tangible things through the use of communication. And when the communication functions the way that it's supposed to, then great progress is made. But if communication is frustrated or is somehow sabotaged or altered, obviously this is where things fall apart. Now, this is a no-brainer, but there's actually an important aspect of this that we need to consider. Now, we're just going to take, for example, the last 2 years, beginning with the arrival of the coronavirus and everything that has happened since that time, okay? That event, now, of course, very strategically now, we're hearing nothing of it. It literally disappeared just a few weeks ago, just prior to all of this business in Ukraine erupting. Okay, disappeared just as quickly as it arrived 2 years ago, and not by coincidence, in which we will get into. We are in the mess that we're in right now because of the wrong discussions. The wrong discussion. Now, we'll take COVID for an example. For the last 2 years, and as I said, folks, I've been listening to talk radio. I listen to NPR in the morning, okay, if I have errands to run. And then on the way back from these errands, I listen to Dan Bongino. I listen to Sean Hannity. Sometimes, if I can stomach it, Glenn Beck. And you listen to these two sides dealing with the COVID issue. On NPR, you have the left, and they talk about vaccines, masks, lockdowns, things like that, and how these things have to be mandated. They have to be made mandatory in order to get a handle on this virus. And then you switch over to the right, and it's the exact opposite. Now, as of right now, the conventional numbers are that we're approaching 1 million people, at least in the United States, who have been killed by this. The one discussion that has not taken place in this is whether or not, and I know there have been little nuanced suggestions, questions, but it has gone no further than that. Okay. The one question that should have been asked right away is, was this an act of God? Was this an act of Mother Nature? Or was this deliberate? Did someone do this? And if so, why did they do it? What was their motive for doing it? Did they have the means to do it? Just like any crime, folks. You know, when police arrive at the scene and somebody's laying there in a pool of blood, and I apologize, I don't want to get too graphic here, but in order for you to get the point, you know, their throat has been cut, and the knife is there on the floor. Immediately, okay, they know the person's dead. They know how the person died, probably. They probably bled to death because of that knife. Now the question is, did this person do it themselves, or did somebody do it to them? Now, in the case of COVID, this discussion never took place. Imagine the cops showing up at a scene like I just described to you, and they say, well, the victim died of a slash to the throat. They bled to death. And then the investigation stops. Now, what happened 2 years ago? Not so coincidentally, just 2 days after Donald Trump hosted Israeli Prime Minister at that time, Benjamin Netanyahu, at the White House, and announced that his much-discussed peace deal in the Middle East that would have confined Israel behind internationally legally recognized borders, and that there would be the creation of this Palestinian state. 2 days later, all of a sudden, the wrath of God has descended upon mankind, and we have this virus that has completely upended everything. And nobody has done the police work, the legwork, in finding out Who did this? Now, you listen to all of these people, especially the right-wingers that I listed before, and they talk about how masks are no good and vaccines are dangerous and lockdowns are very injurious to people's mental health and all the rest of that, not to mention, you know, the injury that it does to the economy. But they don't talk about the possibility or the likelihood or whatever that this was done deliberately. You know, in one of the parables that Jesus left for us, in warning of the dangers of the religion of Judaism and its followers, he gave the parable of the farmer who sowed wheat in his field. And then the next day or the next week, his servants came and said, "Master, the field is full of weeds." And the master's response was, "An enemy has done this." You know, you don't sow wheat in your field and weeds come up instead. He said, "An enemy has done this." Now, in the 2 years that I have been witnessing the conversations swirling about concerning COVID and all the rest of that stuff, this is the one discussion that has not taken place, or at least not to the extent that it should. Imagine for a moment, instead of it being a virus, this unseen killer, imagine instead that it was a nuclear weapon that went off in some city in America, almost a million people killed, like we have right now. And then the situation immediately de-evolving into two sides. The one side says, we have to evacuate the city, and we have to give everybody masks, and we have to give them all iodine tablets. The other says no. The other side says, no, we don't have to evacuate, and masks are no good, and iodine is no good. And this discussion, back and forth, continuously, 24 hours a day, goes on for 2 years, and nobody bothers to ask the question, who brought this bomb into the city? Who detonated it? This is one of the reasons why we find ourselves now, folks, staring down the barrel of a nuclear-tipped missile aimed right at us, because people simply don't know what discussion needs to be had. And it's, you know, it's like we point out often on the program or on the website. No one ever accused them, meaning the followers of Judaism, the children of Israel, as they like to refer to themselves, nobody ever accused them of being stupid. Anybody who does say or think that they're stupid doesn't know what they're talking about, and they need to be just roundly and resoundly ignored. Okay? These people know how to steer the discussion away so that everybody is having the wrong discussion. Now, sometimes those discussions, imagine for a moment, yes, folks, I have retained my title as the king of metaphors. Imagine for a moment an orchestra, okay, all accomplished musicians, all accomplished players, and they've all got their instruments tuned properly, and they're all given a piece of music. But let's say that those 100 musicians, okay, as I said, all very capable, very competent. But let's say that each one's given the same piece of music, same page, everything else, but each one is given music that's in a different key. So they all start playing. Their timing is perfect. They're on the same page. But they're all playing in a different key, and it's nothing but noise. Now, to each person playing, they're playing the piece right. They're playing it properly. They're playing it perfectly. Their instrument's tuned. The sheet music says that it's to be played in this certain key. They're on the right measure. but you get all of them together playing like this, and it's a wall of noise. This is how, one of the ways, how these people, how they act as this corrosive force in bringing down our world. It's not just the misinformation and the disinformation. It is their ability and our willingness to allow them to take the discussion clear over on the other side of town where it doesn't belong. And for us not to focus on the real deal. Okay. Now, as it turns out, folks, and this is, to be honest, it's a source of great disappointment for me. You know, one of the things that the ADL loves to do is to put out a periodic intelligence report talking about the rise of anti-Semitism and the rise in Jew hatred, and especially conspiracy theories. And so the internet has just been rife with ADL report after ADL report talking about how the mean old anti-Semites are saying that the Jews have concocted this COVID virus, and they did this to get Trump out of office and to create all this political and financial instability, and also the vaccines themselves, that these have been concocted in order to make everybody sick. Okay, so folks, all of those things may absolutely be true. The piece of information that is missing, and a fact which I found to be extremely disappointing, is that when these various people, within their own forums, their podcasts, their websites, whatever, would make this charge that it was, quote-unquote, the Jews who had concocted this virus, they didn't provide any evidence for this. Okay, when Mike Piper wrote his groundbreaking book, Final Judgment, that in my opinion, and in the opinion of many, many people around the world, put the pieces of the Kennedy assassination together and effectively proved, I would say, that it was indeed Israel's Mossad that was responsible for pulling the trigger on our president. He used facts. He used verifiable things that could be investigated and validated and corroborated and all of the rest of that. This is why, to this day, you have people, and, this is probably what got Gaddafi, the leader of Libya, this is probably what got him killed. When he dared mention on the floor of the UN General Assembly one year that it was Israel that was responsible for Kennedy's death, that probably is what got him killed. These people who are throwing out the assertion that it was, quote-unquote, the Jews who concocted COVID and the virus or the vaccine that followed, they did this simply by throwing it out there and not providing any even circumstantial evidence to back this up. Now, as emotionally rewarding as it may be for people who do that, at the same time, it doesn't help us out at all. It hurts us. It holds us back. It makes us look like crazies to people. This is the reason why you have people like Sean Hannity and Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh before he went on to greener pastures, and even Tucker Carlson, who I consider to be, a little bit closer to the bullseye than the others. This is the reason why they won't touch issues like this, because all you have to do is go back and look at the source. Okay, so who's alleging that the Jews did it? Oh, a bunch of angry right-wing anti-Semite, neo-Nazi, white nationalist types. Okay, tar baby, toxic. Forget it. They're not going to touch that. If they bothered to do just a little bit of research, put away the emotionalism, and do this thing the way that a lawyer would do it, where he knows he has to go into court, and he can't just throw an assertion out there without backing it up with some type of evidence, okay? Well, the fact of the matter is, folks, is that indeed Israel did have the capacity for doing this. She has a bioweapons lab out in the Negev Desert in a town known as Nes Ziona. And as we published on the website many, many, many times, articles dealing with this, we cited Viktor Ostrovsky, the former Mossad agent, wrote two very important books, By Way of Deception, and then the follow-up to that, The Other Side of Deception. And in that book, he talks about the fact that Israel was involved decades ago with creating what he termed, quote-unquote, doomsday machines. Viruses that were just so deadly, so dangerous, that the very existence of this bioweapons lab was kept secret. Now, you know, I will do periodic internet searches to see who out there is picking up on this information. I mean, if you're going to assert that it was, quote-unquote, the Jews who created COVID in order to get Donald Trump out of office, in addition to other things, then how about backing that up with some type of evidence, even if it's just circumstantial, even if it's just, you know, something such as Viktor Ostrovsky wrote in his book. Now, maybe my search engine parameters are not finely tuned enough, but so far, folks, I haven't found one, not one, instance of anybody from, quote-unquote, our side picking up on this extremely important piece of information, meaning what Ostrovsky writes, where he says that they were out, you know, that they were out in the desert creating doomsday machines, okay, meaning viruses. And interestingly enough, folks, in the research that I have done on this particular bioweapons lab out in the desert in the Negev, back in the 60s, right around the same time that Kennedy was putting the squeeze on Israel concerning her nuclear weapons program, and how he was strong-arming Ben-Gurion and all the others to open up the Dimona nuclear facility for inspections, right before he was killed. There was also a sister program that was keeping an eye on this bioweapons lab as well. And not coincidentally, folks, the name of this spy program that was run out of the CIA's National Reconnaissance Office, this spy program that was keeping an eye on Israel's bioweapons development was known as Corona. This will go into a piece that I am just getting started on the last chapter of this book that I have written, that I'm writing, dealing with Israel's destruction of the Trump presidency. And in the course of investigating Israel's role in this COVID business, I found this unknown chapter involving all of this, of Israel's bioweapons program and the CIA's keeping an eye on it, and the fact that this particular spy program run by the CIA, specifically out of the National Reconnaissance Office, was known as Corona. They love to do that, folks. They love to rub it in our faces. This is why they picked the Twin Towers to get this thing kicked off, because it was their two temples that were destroyed, first by the Babylonians and then the second one by the Romans. And the fact that every year, the followers of Judaism. They celebrate, they remember the destruction of these two temples, these two towers, first by the Babylonians and then by the Romans, on the ninth day of the 11th month of the Hebrew calendar. And likewise, I would say that it's a good bet that Corona, which is what COVID was originally named, it was the coronavirus, okay, that this was done in order to rub it in our face. You know, that we were keeping an eye on their bioweapons program, but obviously we were not keeping that good of an eye. Anyway, folks, we're already, oh good God, already 45 minutes into this thing, but I got to get this thing out. Hopefully I'll be able to get it out in the next 15 minutes. I doubt it. Okay, so it's no secret that I come up with some ideas, folks, that for whatever reason, I seem to get to these places before other people do. Now, I have this running debate with this friend of mine who I mentioned earlier, this mystery woman who prodded me into doing this program tonight, and I express, you know, my frustration with the fact that people who should know better, people who are intelligent and they are well-studied, well-read, and they just can't see some of these things as they should. And she says, well, you know, you're giving them too much credit and not enough credit to yourself. You know, and we have this running debate. She says that I have this third eye, where this third eye that I can see these things that other people can't see. And I tell her, I say, no, that's not true. I said, I am not of, I would say that I'm of above average intelligence, but I'm certainly no genius. I said, the only reason that I am able to see these things is because I choose to see them. Okay, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger wasn't born this giant, you know, mountain of muscle that he is known for being. That's the product of years and years and years, hours of grueling toil, lifting these weights in order to turn his body into this monstrosity that it is. Okay, and it is like that with human intelligence as well. I think that there are people who are, you know, just inordinately gifted intellectually. And then you have people who have an ordinary intelligence, but they hone it. You know, they take this butter knife that they were born with, this butter knife of a brain, and over the course of their lifetimes, through reading and study and everything else, they take that butter knife and they turn it into a steak knife. Okay. So anyway, this friend of mine and I have this running debate. And so once again, folks, I'm going to throw something out there that, to my knowledge, at least, to my knowledge, has not yet been introduced as an idea into this discussion that we're dealing with right now, particularly with regards to this business in the Ukraine. Now, everybody right now is very exercised, and with good reason, okay? This is not Iraq. This is not Libya. This is not Afghanistan. This is a real country, and please don't anybody get offended. I'm not saying that Iraq, Afghanistan, and Libya were not real countries. But what I mean by this is that this country of Russia can fight back. And with the worst sort of weaponry. Now, my reason for bringing this up is rooted in the hope that by those of you out there, whatever number it happens to be, hearing this, that it will get passed around, like the interview that I did with Sabrowski a long time ago. It has literally been listened to by millions of people now. last count, last time I saw it on YouTube, it has been listened to by millions of people. What he said was so unusual, given who he was and what he had done in his life as director of studies at the U.S. Army War College, for him to come forward and to say that Israel did 9/11 and that a good portion of our military, especially the upper echelons, know that Israel was involved in this. This was a, this was just a radical thing. And the result of this is that it spread like wildfire. Well, I've got another radical thing. Sabrowski's not here to talk about it. It's just going to be me, folks. And it started off as a theory. From there, it went to being a thesis. And now I believe we have enough evidence, even though it is somewhat circumstantial. We have enough evidence to almost conclude that it's a theorem, meaning it's almost a proven fact. And that proven fact, in my opinion, is that what this present situation right now that has brought all of us much closer to doomsday than we were just 2 weeks ago is the fact that the Americans and the Israelis were getting ready to blow Chernobyl. I have a son who is particularly gifted. In fact, he's a genius, and he does not at the ripe old age of 15 does not, you know, busy himself with sports or cartoons or video games. He reads history all day long. And one of the things that he has stumbled upon in the last 2 years has been this issue of Chernobyl. He just has been absolutely fixated on it, encyclopedic in his knowledge of it. And being as passionate as he is about it, he shares it with me quite a bit. So I've come to learn a lot about Chernobyl, what happened, and the danger that it still poses to this day, and the danger that it will pose for the next 20,000 or so years. And the only reason that we're here alive right now, folks, above ground, is because of that dome that has been built, the two domes that have been built over Chernobyl. If they hadn't built those domes over it, half the world would probably not be here right now, because the radiation damaged reactor was so bad. Okay, and it's still there. It is still there to this day. Now, everybody who has bothered to invest themselves in understanding better why we have all of this business going on between the Russians and the Ukrainians knows all about NATO and the encroachment of NATO and all of the rest of that. But when you go back and read Vladimir Putin's address, where he outlines the reasons that he and his government have decided at this time to engage in this military activity. The one thing that is crystal clear in all of this is that they consider right now, and by that I'm talking about 10 days ago, right when this was all getting started, that they consider themselves at the precipice of destruction as a nation. These some of the words that he used. And by if there is a program next time, folks, I will make sure that I have committed much of what he said in his address to memory so that we can delve into it further. In the meantime, please go to the website and read what has appeared there on this issue. But you can see in Putin's words that this is a do-or-die moment for him, for his country, that they have no other choice but to go into Ukraine and to engage in this you know, what could possibly escalate into a nuclear war between his country and NATO. So, I was, of course, the initial information was overwhelming as the invasion began. We were all brought, up to, we were prepped for this, for a couple weeks. It was every day, the Russians are amassing this huge army on the border and they could invade any day and all of the rest of that. And then when it happened, of course, as is typically the case with things like this, you're just overwhelmed with information. But one of the things that caught my eye right away was a story off of the Israel National News website, which is the very first website I go to in the morning. I always want to know what the children of Israel are up to, and I can best glean what it is they're up to by reading what it is that they write. So that is the first website that I go to in the morning when I go to start examining the news. And one of the very first stories that I saw was how Zelensky, the very Hebraic president of Ukraine, something which they have really made sure to really go over the top about, is his status as one of the children of Israel, how he reacted in such an emotional way to the Russians seizing control of the Chernobyl plant. He said that this was a declaration of war against all of Europe. And I thought, boy, he really has, this has really struck a nerve with him. What is it that's got him so exercised and, bent out of shape? I mean, it would just make sense, I mean, when an army invades another country, they will seize immediately, they will seize means of communication, they'll control the roadways, they'll control the airways, meaning flights, because all of these things are necessary in order to gain control of territory. That includes utilities. You get control of the electricity, you get control of the water. So there was nothing out of the ordinary in terms of standard military business about the Russians seizing control of Chernobyl. Okay, so I thought, why is he reacting in this way about this? A declaration of war against all of Europe. And then, in the back of my brain, the thought occurred to me, what would happen if Chernobyl were to blow and that dome were to be damaged? And that radiation would be released. Where would it go? Well, it would go into Russia. It would go into Europe. Now, of course, I know I sound like a broken record here, but, I always look for whatever angle something may have to it that involves the followers of Judaism, because the followers of Judaism have demonstrated themselves to be an extremely capable and an extremely fanatical group of people, and who have made it crystal clear that they have certain plans that they intend to see materialize in human history, and that they take no prisoners. Okay, I mean, their main religious celebrations every year are celebrations of death and destruction of Gentiles who in some way offended or harmed them, real or perceived. Passover, Purim, Hanukkah, okay. And as those of you who have followed this program know that I have theorized for many years that everything that we see taking place in our world right now, especially as it pertains to the West, that this is all part of a very long, drawn-out plan on the part of the followers of Judaism to avenge themselves against the Roman Empire that destroyed their country 2,000 years ago and subjected them to 2,000 years of horrible, horrible anti-Semitism. So I started thinking, was this the reason? Did the Russians get wind of a plan on the part of Zelensky, okay, that, you know, was Mossad and working together with CIA, were they going to blow up Chernobyl to such an extent that it would cause this horrible radiation that would go into Russia and into Europe, both peoples who are on the extinction list as far as the children of Israel are concerned. And I thought, yeah, they would do that. They would do that. Wasn't too much longer after that that we had the foreign minister of Russia, Lavrov, Sergei Lavrov. He, in very careful, nuanced, and diplomatic language, he said that we had to go in there because there was the threat that the Ukrainians were developing a nuclear weapon. Now, folks, Chernobyl is already a nuclear weapon. All you have to do is open up one or both of those domes holding all of that radiation in. And what you have, in effect, is you have a nuclear event taking place. Okay, not a boom, not a mushroom cloud, but you have this enormous amount of radiation. If I remember correctly, 400 times the amount of radiation that came out of the bombs that we dropped on Japan per day, something like that. I mean, just an enormous amount of radiation. So then I started doing a little bit more study with the help of my brilliant son. And it turns out, folks, that Chernobyl is credited with being the event that finally broke the straw. It was the straw that broke camel's back of the Soviet Union. Okay, it was so politically damaging to the Soviet Union that they had no more political clout in the world because this was so bad. And that this was, it's known as the nuclear theory of the fall of the Soviet Union. Now, we have heard often, especially as of late, that Vladimir Putin, that he is out to rebuild the Soviet Union. And, you know, there are things that Putin has said over the years, one of which is that he considers the greatest disaster of the 20th century to have been the fall of the Soviet Union. Certain things he has said that have given his enemies grist for their mill in painting him as this, you know, this would be Soviet dictator who wants to take over the world and all of the rest of that. But I think that what happened, folks, is that indeed there was a plot on the part of Israel and America to blow open Chernobyl. The political it can be easily blamed on anything other than deliberate sabotage, because the domes, because of the state of the foundation, okay, upon which those domes are built, because of all the radiological damage that's been done, it's considered unstable ground, and they're always dealing with structural problems of the dome cracking in places, to say nothing of the effect that the radiation itself is having on the steel and the concrete that form the structure of the domes. So, this is one of those things that can easily be blamed on, Russian incompetence. Okay, first they built a reactor that blew up, killed thousands of people, could have killed millions. Okay, then to remedy it, they build this dome that doesn't hold up and splits open, poisons Europe and Eurasia. And ultimately, folks, I think what this boils down to, the United States wants to be top dog, obviously. Doesn't like to have to compete with the likes of Russia and Vladimir Putin. But more when we want to get biblical about it, I think that the bullseye at the center of this target is that the children of Israel, the followers of Judaism, they want the Russians out of the Middle East. They need the Russians out of the Middle East. And not just since Russia's defeat of ISIS in Syria. Okay, this was what the attack on the USS Liberty was about. Now, in my earlier years, when I was still somewhat green, it was my contention that the Israelis attacked the USS Liberty because they wanted to drag the Americans into the Six-Day War on her side. Well, the war was basically over by that time. There really wasn't any strategic reason to bring the Americans into it. The Israelis were winning, and there was nothing that was going to frustrate that or to halt that or reverse it. It was because of a friendship I had with a fellow years ago. His name was Dick Thomas. He was a very high-placed officer within the U.S. intelligence community. And before he passed away, he divulged a lot of information to me about the Liberty that is not, part of the common lexicon out there. And, what he said was the reason for the attack was because the Russians supported the Egyptians. Okay, the Russians were in the Middle East at that time in a big way. Okay, the Egyptians, biggest Arab country in the Middle East, most powerful country in the Middle East at that time. The Jordanians and the Syrians, they were all under the wings of Mother Russia. After the war, and with the fall of the Soviet Union, the Russians kind of pulled back and left this vacuum in which the United States filled with Egypt and with Jordan. But they remained in Syria. Okay. Furthermore, it has been the Russian position that the Palestinians deserve a state of their own, and they do not recognize the sovereignty of Israel's sovereignty, quote-unquote, of the Golan Heights. And as far as Israel's concerned, what makes this problem even worse is the fact that the Russians are very capable players, and they have nuclear weapons. And this is the reason why the United States has to tiptoe lightly with regards to its support, in certain instances in the Middle East that favor Israel, because they know that there's another big dog in the neighborhood. And so the followers of Judaism, the children of Israel, need the Russians out of the Middle East so that they can have more of a free hand in engaging in all the murder and mayhem that they do. Because remember, folks, as we point out on the website often, Israel, even though at the moment it is just this tiny sliver of land on what was historically known as Palestine, okay, this is just in its embryonic state. The followers of Judaism, okay, being, they They take all of that Old Testament stuff deadly serious, folks, deadly serious. And the Old Testament, the Torah, the Law of Moses is very clear on this, from the Nile to the Euphrates rivers. And they intend, as they are talking about more and more these days, if you go and read the Israeli press, more and more these days, they're talking about this day of redemption that is quickly approaching, where they will be able to put their claws on all of that land between the Nile and the Euphrates. And as long as the Russians are there, okay, acting as a mitigating counterforce, and the United States being forced to mind its P's and Q's in this regard, then they will not be as free to engage in all of that murder and mayhem that they want to inflict upon the people of the region. Now, bring this thing back to the issue of Ukraine. I think that what was planned, as I said, was the sabotage of Chernobyl. This would have put enormous and insupportable, insufferable political pressure on the Russians. I think that Israel and the United States were looking to repeat what happened the first time with Chernobyl, you know, being credited with bringing down the Soviet Union. They were looking to repeat that with Chernobyl failing again, and the political pressure that would have been created as a result of this would have caused the collapse of the Russian government and everything else. I think that the Russians got wind that this was coming, and this is the reason why they mounted this desperate invasion when they did. And furthermore, and this is just my theory, folks, I could be wrong, but I hope that I'm right. I think that Putin, in some fashion, got in touch with Biden and with all of the heads of the European countries, and probably Israel too, and said, look, we know this is what you were planning to do. We have everything. We've got the videotapes, we've got the audio tapes, we've got the whole thing, and we're going to let everybody know that this was what you were planning to do if you interfere with what we're going to do in Ukraine. This is what we're going to do. Now, folks, remember, the Russians have known for a long time. I mean, look, they are not Andorra. They're not Belize. No offense meant to the good people of Andorra or Belize, but the Russians had the best intelligence service in the world for many, many years, okay? And they are intelligent people, chess players. They are calculating. They are, very rational. They make their moves after anticipating what their enemy is planning to move and all the rest of that. So the Russians have had intelligence on all of these dirty, dirty secrets. John F. Kennedy, okay, the USS Liberty. We know for sure, and I know for sure, that the Russians know exactly what happened with regards to the USS Liberty, because my friend Dick Thompson, okay, a highly placed intelligence officer, made a night flight to the Soviet Union, to Russia, after the Soviet Union, and met with the Russian subcommander who was there, not far away, watching the attack through his periscope at the USS Liberty, videotaped the entire attack where it shows the American flag flying. So this excuse that the Israelis have given for the last 50 years that they didn't know it was an American ship because it wasn't flying an American flag, the Russians have the goods on that, okay? But they have held on to that. You know, they don't throw their aces down until they know that doing so is going to win them the game. Let's see what else. The first Twin Towers attacks in 1993. They've got the goods on that. The bombing at the Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City in 1995. They've got the goods on that. 9/11, the anthrax attacks, COVID, all of these things. The Russians know all about it. And I think that what Putin, the message that he conveyed to all the leaders of NATO is, if you interfere with us, what we're going to do is we're first going to tell everybody that you were planning to blow up Chernobyl and to blame it on us in order to cause political trouble here in the interest of knocking us out of the game. And we have all the proof. We have all the goods. And they'll believe us. They will believe us. And if that's not enough to convince you, by the way, we've got all these other things as well. Stuff that we've had in our archives for the last 60 years. And if we release this information, it will cause so much political instability in your countries that your governments will all fall. The people will completely lose all faith in you. And I think that this is the reason why we see on the part of Biden and the rest of these leaders, including these members of Congress here who are saying, you know, we can't get involved in this war. This will be World War III, blah, blah, blah. The plan was, once Operation Chernobyl took place, I think, you know, Ukraine and Zelensky, they would have had all the NATO help they needed. But because the Russians are holding this highly, highly blackmailable information against the countries involved, this is the reason why, up to this point at least, there has been no military action. This doesn't mean that it's not coming, folks. Remember who the big player in all of this is. Israel. Israel wants the Russians out of the Middle East. Israel's tired of dealing with all of these setbacks, all of these roadblocks, whether it's discussions of a Palestinian state, whether it's dealing with Syria, whether it's dealing with Hezbollah, whether it's dealing with Gaza, whether it's dealing with Iran. Okay? And, you know, all of these problems would be eliminated, if not immediately, but in due time it would. They would all be eliminated if Russia were taken out of the picture. So the Israelis they need Russia gone. So when Biden and his people tell Netanyahu and Bennett and the rest of them, look, we just can't do this anymore, okay? The Russians, they beat us to it, okay? They beat us to it, and they've got all of this information. This has never stopped the children of Israel, the followers of Judaism, from doing what they set out to do. Okay. For them, you know, I mean, you're dealing with a highly intelligent, but also at times highly irrational group of people who are driven by this insane, fanatical religious, backwards religious extremism, where they believe that, you know, it's the same extremism that drove the zealots to go to war against the most powerful empire in the world at that time, the Romans, and they thought that they could win. So what I'm saying, folks, is that whatever it is that they are holding against Biden and the other leaders, this does not mean that there isn't a plan C in the works. Plan A, of course, was Chernobyl, or Chernobyl, as I referred to it. Plan B happened the other night, where they set fire to this other nuclear reactor. And the Russians were clear about this, that they were provoked into firing in a certain direction that resulted in this fire happening as a result of these operatives firing on them. That didn't work. The Russians made it plain that they didn't start the fire, that that it was the result of a horrible provocation, I think was the language that was used. So there's Plan C. We don't know what it is, but I think that it would be safe to say it may involve some cyber attack. They've been warning about this for years, that the Russians have been, you know, hacking into various systems and things like that. And so the long and the short of it, folks, is that we are in for some very rough seas ahead. There's no way that this plane that has been hijacked is going to have a safe landing. In the meantime, what we need to do, all of us, you know, and this is one of the things that I, ideas I tried to convey in years past when I would do my programs, is that we need to see ourselves as intelligence operatives in our own right. Okay, it's our job to go out and to use truth and propaganda and information and all the rest of that in order to defeat what it is that our enemy is trying to inflict against us. And that means that we have to be smart about this, okay? We can't dabble in nonsense that's going to have no effect on the people we're talking to except to make them see us as crazy. Okay, that's not a victory. So what I would ask of you out there, all 10 of you who are listening to this program, is to take this information, chew on it, think about it. If it makes sense to you, pass it on. Pass on this theory, this thesis, whatever we want to call it, that what this is really all about, just as the Russians have said from the beginning, that this is about preventing World War III, not about starting World War III, but about preventing it. And that what really was at stake here, the real story to all of it, isn't just NATO encroachment, although that does play a part, but rather what was a planned nuclear disaster that was going to, that would have completely kicked off World War III. So that's it for tonight, folks. I apologize again for kind of bouncing around. Like I said, I'm not as organized as I have been in years past. I apologize for going so long. I didn't intend to go for an hour and 20 minutes, but anyway. And again, I have to be completely honest with all of you in saying that this impromptu program tonight does not in any way indicate that I will be back, because quite frankly, folks, it's, you know, with what little time is left in terms of our peaceful world, and I use that term in quotation marks because it's anything but peaceful, I tend to prefer involving myself in familial and pastoral duties, pastoral meaning working here on the ranch. There's always, you know, practical, tangible work to be done here, whether it's building barns or cleaning out barns or putting up extra solar panels or digging wells, things like that. And, you know, this is how I prefer to spend my years now as officially as a senior citizen. So I don't know what my mood is going to be like a week from now. We'll see. We'll see if the Spirit has moved me to come back and to continue this discussion. I will. But in the meantime, all 10 of you who are listening to this program, read the articles, read the Ed Notes, read the analysis, and remember, it may be just one person, one extra person who goes out there and has the right conversation at the right time. that tips the balance of this thing in the other direction. We can't just go out there and have conversations. We have to have the right conversations. The right conversations at the right time. And sometimes you only have one opportunity to have that conversation. If somebody were to come today, now that COVID seems to be in our rearview mirror as we're driving away from it, and remember, folks, as it pertains to tonight's discussion, that was the plan, okay, to replace one invisible killer, a virus, with another invisible killer, meaning radiation. That was the plan. If somebody were to come out today and to say, "Eureka, we figured out COVID was man-made and we figured out who did it," the average person who is completely worn out now after 2 years of this would pay little to no attention to it. Little to no attention. And it's because the right conversation that should have been started and had 2 years ago wasn't. And our enemies kept us busy spinning around in circles, scurrying around like drugged cockroaches in a jar, as one of them once said. And so pass this information along. Even if it's just a theory, raise it as a question. You don't have to make it as a statement. Raise it as a question. What if the Israelis and the Americans, just as they did in 1967, they colluded together to attack an American ship in order to provoke a nuclear incident with the Russians? Okay, because we were only 3 minutes away from dropping nuclear weapons on Cairo, folks, and these people were perfectly willing to allow that to happen. So that's it for tonight, folks. Hopefully we'll all be alive and kicking a week from now. But remember what I said. It's time to have the right discussion at the right time, and for us to recognize that we don't have the luxury, we don't have the time of dabbling in things that are not going to be productive. Have to lead people to the bullseye, the center of the bullseye. Simply getting near the target or hitting the wall that the target is hanging on, it isn't good enough. So that's it for tonight, folks. Everybody have a good week. God bless and protect all of us, and good night.